5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Receiving this message.
We are Ken Jennings and John Roderick. We speak to you from our present, which we can only assume is your distant past, the turbulent time that was the early 21st century.
Fearing the great cataclysm that will surely befall our civilization, we began this monumental reference of strange and obscure human knowledge. These recordings represent our attempt to compile and preserve wonders and esoterica that would otherwise be lost.
So whether you're listening from an advanced civilization or have just reinvented the technology to decrypt our transmissions, this is our legacy to you.
This is our time capsule. This is the Omnibus.
You have accessed entry 1352.GE3028, certificate number 43079. The 27th Amendment.
Hey, do you know about the USA? Do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution? Hey, learn about the USA.
Now, Ken, you and I periodically get emails and various other correspondence suggesting that we are some kind of liberals, some sort of Democrats.
Just because I got 6 emails today from Kamala Harris saying she needs me.
Oh yeah.
Does that mean?
Oh, I
hope those are from the campaign and not really from her. That would be weird.
You'd be embarrassed not replying.
I would. Please stop watching Jeopardy,
Ms. Vice President. I'm so sorry. I've been getting increasingly aggressive texts. The last one said, "We've asked you 6 times if you're going to vote for Kamala Harris, and you have not replied. What, you know, basically,
what's your
deal? What's the deal? We can't move on until you." 6 times they've asked me.
Why are you ghosting these campaign bots?
6
John?
Times I have deleted this.
You're such
text.
A zoomer.
Really?
You can't just ghost.
You know what, man? Your vote doesn't even count. No, they got no right to text me. I don't care about the whatever.
You don't text them.
I don't text them. I don't receive texts from strangers. I mean, I do.
Yeah, you do. Apparently you do now.
Although I don't feel that the vice president is a stranger to me. I feel like she works on behalf of the people.
She's Brad.
Oh yeah, Brad Summer.
some neuron fired in your brain that made you say Brad Summer.
All of a sudden I saw neon green.
Sadly, people are listening to this show in October. The campaign is still going on, but it is certainly Brad Autumn.
Yeah, right. Well, those people have Riz. They're skibbity.
A for effort.
Yeah,
what
thanks.
Is
thanks.
Why do you think people would think we're registered Democrats? Just because we are?
Oh, well, didn't we get something that said we were anti-white? We were talking about that not that long ago.
Our Apple review is a guy tired of our racism against white people.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true. Like, hanging out in Seattle with white people all the time will really turn you against them.
They're all around. Well, no, I mean, you know, I think even though we work hard to present what we would think of as an old media
strictly factual.
Factual and unbiased. Every once in a while, our biases show through.
I think it's every once in a while if you agree with us. If you disagree with someone, I feel like...
it happens all the time.
Yeah, their bias becomes much more apparent to you than it is to them. Like Mr. Anti-White Guy. I'm sure he thinks that's a commonsensical mainstream position to have.
Yeah, Isaac Brock is convinced that we're watching him even now.
Probably.
So would you describe yourself... What's your personal relationship with the federal government like? Would you describe yourself as
I thought you were going to say with the Constitution.
Let's go there.
I do carry it with me in my breast pocket, of course, like all normal people.
Like everybody who's succeeded on Jeopardy, you've surely read the U.S. Constitution all the way through.
Do you feel like that's what leads to Jeopardy success?
I think, everybody
finishes second or third, didn't quite get through every article.
If you're sitting...
Like article four, they're like, this is kind of a snooze.
You're sitting on the podium and
if you're sitting on the podium, something's gone wrong.
But, if Alex had asked you some question about the 18th Amendment and you had been like, durr, you'd have looked pretty dumb.
I had... pink flashcards cut out from hot pink note cards that for some reason were all the note cards I had.
Were on sale at the dollar store.
That's probably it. Cut into, I don't know, thirds or quarters. I don't know how you turn a note card into smaller flashcards.
Yeah.
And they each had on the front, it would say, it would say 17th Amendment or 19th Amendment. On the back, it would say, women have the right to vote or whatever. Like it would match the things.
You didn't know the 12th exact
Amendment,
wording,
president and vice president.
You encapsulated it.
I did because Jeopardy doesn't reward deep knowledge. Let's be honest.
Sure. That's right. They would give you a clue in the question that would point you in the right direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I've read the Constitution. It's fine.
Every American would. You don't have any issues with it. I don't like
the part about how, like, if you're not white, you're 2/3 of a person or whatever. Like that part, I'm glad.
Sure, that got amended along the way.
Prohibition didn't really work.
That seemed like a, an idea whose time had not come.
I feel like I'm very safe by sticking to only the amended portions of the Constitution.
Oh, I see. You don't have any issue with the big one, with the main body of the Constitution.
I'm trying to think what other notes I have. I mean, we're seeing the downsides of our weird kind of federalism right now. The Electoral College, maybe not great.
At the time, maybe it didn't even make sense then. what's interesting about the way the Constitution was ratified, as I'm sure you know from having watched...
From having these pink flashcards.
From those and having watched, Free to Be You and Me or whatever. Or
Schoolhouse Rock?
Schoolhouse Rock.
Free to Be You and Me is very silent on the Constitutional Convention. Phil Donahue does not play James Madison at any point.
I'm a boy. How do you know? But there was a lot of dissension from some of the states, from some of the representatives of some of the states, feeling that the federal government had too much power. We were consolidating too much power in a strong federalist system.
They had never been in such a thing. They were Pennsylvanians at best.
Yeah, right. And the Virginians, of course.
And Virginians at worst.
As per usual. Felt that we needed to reserve some rights for the people. And after the Constitution was originally ratified, there was a lot of worry that that the anti-federalists were going to kind of create enough trouble, instigate enough dissension that they were going to go in and remake the Constitution. There was a lot of worry in that initial period that there was going to be a second constitutional convention. It was going to completely unravel the Constitution.
This is like draft one.
Yeah. And we would be then back out at sea, 13 colonies, all essentially trying to redo it. And that filled everybody with a lot of apprehension about the future of the whole enterprise.
Although in hindsight, maybe like a series of political wranglings leading to a new constitutional convention every 10 years might have solved a lot of problems.
It might have, although it might have also...
destabilized the entire enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, it might have just resulted in a confederation of independent warring states. They might have rewritten the Constitution to make... Chinese people, inhuman.
I feel like it would not have been individual states because if you're Vermont, you very quickly realize, if we go to war, risk type war here with 13 different powers,
Well, Vermont.
Vermont needs to.
Interesting case, right? Vermont was
not an original colony.
100% an independent nation. It thought for a moment.
So yeah, like if you're Rhode Island, for example,
yeah.
You need to bend the knee to.
I mean, Rhode Island, yeah, sure. Surrounded by hostile states and not a huge a militia.
Somebody blockades Rhode Island. Look out!
So there was an eminence. No less than James Madison, who was a representative of the kind of anti-federalist mentality, saying, look, the feds, I mean, and it echoes in our time. The anti-federalists still make a lot of noise in truck stops across America. And a major part of their complaint was taxation. They thought maybe the better system would be just voluntary contributions.
I'm sure that'll work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what could be the problem?
It does seem like the states that are the most up in arms about their federal income taxes might not be the states that are going to be the most eager to pitch in, passing the hat for a new highway or something.
No, that's right. They tend to be the states that require the most federal support.
Outside federal aid, yeah.
So Madison proposed what we now know as the Bill of Rights, the 10 amendments to the Constitution that he thought would be integrated into the Constitution.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was
never
like,
thought it was.
These are going to be, you know, subsets. He had a vision for each one of those amendments where it would be, you know, Article 2 clause subset, you know.
He had Microsoft Word in edit mode.
He did.
And he had little pink underlines.
Yeah, Clippy was in there like, how can I help you? and I think probably for the better, it was then eventually added to the Constitution as the first amendments.
I can't think of another work where what you think of as the quintessential, just the most important highlights or nuggets of the work are actually in the back matter, like they're in the index.
It's we mostly talk about.
Like
isn't
if you think about the Constitution, you think about freedom of speech and religion and so forth. You do not think about fishing rights or whatever the previous articles are about. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's kind of astonishing, right? That the parts of the Constitution that are most readily at hand in all of our minds and in the newspapers on the reg are all part of this. This
addenda.
Addenda, right, the first 10.
Maybe were they only for Patreon subscribers to the Constitution?
Initially, but then, they made it available to all subscribers.
It was white landowners at first.
Even the people that don't donate at all.
Maybe it's because it's bullet points. Maybe Madison should have thought of putting the rest of the Constitution in the form of a PowerPoint.
Yeah, I think every document now, I don't know if this is true for you when you write things, but I break up writing into much smaller paragraphs than I did 20 years ago.
Sure.
You know, 20 years ago, you would write a paragraph that was three quarters of a page or half a or an entire page. And now it's just like three sentences, paragraph. And also like a space paragraphs with a double space.
It's almost more for the eye than for the idea, you know?
Right, because reading things on a computer, you're just like, come on.
I'm not going to read that sea of text.
Come on, scan.
If this was a Reddit comment, I would downvote it.
I was reading something I wrote the other day, and I was like, why is this like a list of ingredients on a box of cornflakes?
Oh, you thought it was too short, too punchy.
Have you ever looked at the ingredients on a box of cornflakes? It's not short.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There's riboflavin.
You were looking at something that was a sea of text and your eyes swam.
Yeah, exactly. Xanthan gum. But that Bill of Rights originally had 12 amendments.
Ooh, the lost amendments.
And there were two amendments that didn't get ratified by all of the states. And weirdly, if you look at the way that the states ratified the Bill of Rights, a lot of them, 9 of them, just ratified either all of them or 11 of them. But there are enough states of those original 13 that
they had a line item.
Yeah, they did. They were like, everybody agreed on 3 through 12. But there were some anomalies in 1 and 2.
1 and 2 are not our current 1 and 2.
1 and 2 got didn't make it all the way through the process.
Were they the first two in the list?
First two in the list.
Madison is 0 for 2 before he comes up with some bangers.
Yeah, but then it's all bangers from then on. Yeah.
And imagine starting a record like that, though. Imagine starting a record with your two worst tracks.
Where I you're did. Like... My The Long Winter's first record starts out with a 7-minute long, incomprehensible art jam.
You should have called that record the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, and then it kicks in. You know, the record's like, woohoo!
I've heard from fans in many states, and they all hate the first two tracks.
Yeah, or the first one, but the first one might as well be two tracks. Hookless. I think Spin said.
You shouldn't have called it Hookless.
Yeah. Hey.
My first record, Hookless.
But you know, and Madison took most of the Bill of Rights from English Common Law and from the Magna Carta. You know, he was cribbing off of all the great works of, I guess, that came before.
Yeah.
With a lot of input from people that were like, well, it should be the rights of every human, which I don't think they considered at first. They thought that
they sure defined it differently than we did.
They did, but the first two amendments that didn't pass. One of them dealt with how many representatives were going to be in the Congress, in the House,
and this has been an omnibus entry.
Yes, that's right.
CF, whatever that was called.
Find it.
Oh, it might be called, it's called Article the First.
Article the First.
There we go. You know, remember back in September 2020 when that one hit? Boy. The fans were crazy. Hookless, they said.
Well, now we're going to talk about Article the Second. But just to remind everybody about Article the First.
Should we have called the show Article the Second?
Article the Second.
Should we have called it Article the First 2, The Wrath of Khan?
The Electric Boogaloo? Let's see. Well, then you always talk about people in the far distant future, or rather, I didn't mean to say people, I'm sorry.
Entities.
In the distant future.
Sentient light wavelengths.
Although, wait a minute. If it's some kind of, if the people listening, oh, I'm sorry, I said people again. If the beings listening are in some quantum state, are they even entities?
Are they even listening?
Is it listenable?
They're listening to all podcasts at once and they're like, this is better than Smartless, but it's not great.
But you were often talking about about Omnibus as a thing to be listened to in alphabetical order.
Oh, it's true.
And now, Article the First,
you've probably heard that millennia ago.
Right.
And you're finally getting up to the letter T.
Well, they would both start with Article.
Oh, I see.
If we change the title.
If we change
the title. But no, we're not going to. Let's just keep on keeping on, because typically we don't go back. We just keep moving. But Article the First, in a lot of ways, wasn't passed because there was a scrivener's error in the way it had been, the way it was kind of translated from one draft to another.
Wow, the typo that killed it.
Yeah, and if you followed the typo, then it would have been confusing or impossible to implement. If you read it strictly.
So the strict reading is like we would have 3,000 people today?
We would have, more than 6,000, 6,600 people in the House.
Think how awful most members of the House of Representatives are. And now think there's, on the other hand, there's that many awful people in America. You would just concentrate 5 times of them in the same place. That's nice. Keep them out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, there would probably be, 400 representatives from the state of California?
Yeah.
Maybe more than you want. Or maybe more than maybe exactly the number we need.
I mean, if I see 400 Californians here in Seattle, I get furious. Like in the Beltway, is it better or worse?
Yeah, anytime there's a baseball game against the California Angels, you're just... clutching your fists.
Your reference is a little old to the California Angels.
Oh, is that right? Did they change?
Yeah, well.
What are they now?
They're in Anaheim. They always were in Anaheim, but now they're the Anaheim Angels.
Oh, but they were the California Angels. I'm not wrong.
No, when Gene Autry owned them, he claimed the whole state. But his empire was gradually, his cowboy empire was eroded away And now his heirs barely have are clutching onto Anaheim.
Yeah, Anaheim.
A war with the Disneys.
But the second article was a response to something that the original Constitution had kind of either neglected to specify.
How could a perfect document like the Constitution neglect anything, John?
And in this case, what it neglected to specify was how Congress was going to be monitored in terms of how much they agreed to pay themselves.
It is funny how simple, you know, how elementary this idea of good government is, you know? Like it's silent on, like, this is their nightmare scenario. Like, what if they start to pay themselves too much? Cause that's what kings do.
Yeah. Right.
Kings hoard gold. What if our councils do the same thing?
And I think a lot of the, put yourself back at the Constitutional Convention.
I am in a wig.
All right.
I'm in knee breeches.
I think at the time there was, a sense of them all being, men of character. Who would, of course, you know, they are they're anti-royalists. They are just intrinsically going to be unwilling to profit from this office. Yeah. Washington is going to take a dollar a year. You know,
because his picture is on it.
It's going to be, that's right. And he'll just keep framing them.
Benjamin Franklin's like, sweet, I got 100.
Still on it. Still on it.
None of them have thought, what if our successors are Queen's slumlord,
right,
with daddy issues.
No, they're always thinking, well, the representative from Virginia will always be some burgher who is descendant from John Page the First, and
the noble forehead and aquiline nose befitting his enlightened ideas.
But the anti-federalists, this was one of the things that they pointed out, that
there's potential for abuse of power,
right, and that their solution was not to say that Congress could not set its own wage, but only that the pay raise would only take effect after the next election.
Can you imagine the 18th century wonk coming up with this idea? Fellows, I have it.
Like, well, I think it was Madison.
Is that right? You think that idea is not in common law anywhere? I guess, I don't know.
No, maybe how would it be? I think it might be, there might be trails of it even in the Magna Carta. It might be something derived from trying to limit how much kings can profit from. But I can't lay hands on exactly where.
It seems like a very Enlightenment era founding fathers vibe that you can solve all problems with a sufficiently clever
little twist.
Yeah, wielding of enlightened self-interest, you know?
Right.
People are going to do what they're going to do, but if you can just make the rules just right, there will be this perfect opposition. The checks and balances will ensure good government forever.
And it makes good sense. If a Congress voted themselves an outrageous pay raise, the voters could immediately vote them all out.
But then the new guys would still get the pay raise.
The new guys would get the pay raise, but you'd only vote in people that you felt like deserved the extra money.
Or people that you think would repeal the exorbitant pay raise. Like right. People would run for office on the, we know you hate that pay raise from those fat cats in, wait, there was no Washington, those fat cats in Philadelphia.
I want to be paid less.
Yeah, that's what people would say. It would be like the Bill Gates Sr. campaign. Politicians have done that probably in every era. Like, I will take no salary. My salary will go to the Humane Society because I'm in this for you, my district.
Well, and politicians have also slipped pay raises in through all kinds of back doors, and, you know, they append it to a bill dealing with child labor laws or whatever. Oh, and by the way, you know, subset.
February 8th is Swiss cheese day, but also also some chicanery.
That's right, a little chicanery. And we'll see that this this comes into play, this tendency comes into play, because this amendment was not ratified. And not for...
Why?
Well, not for any particular reason. Often, I mean, in enough of...
What has to happen here? Seven states get for an amendment? It's two-thirds. Unanimous.
Three quarters at the time.
Well, is it still, because it's very hard to pass an amendment, and this is why, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, right. Three quarters is what is needed. And And what happened was in a decisive number of states, it was just that the House, the state House agreed, the state Senate couldn't agree. They couldn't often couldn't reconcile within the states, mm-hmm. The two chambers of their own House. There wasn't any widespread opposition to it. It just was something that kind of
seems like an early sign that the American federal system is not a Swiss watch, you know?
Well, but also, like you say, it's hard to get amendments, and that's
maybe...
It can
be a feature, not a bug.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe a feature. And this was, you know, compared to the right to bear arms or the right to keep the government from housing soldiers,
troops in, my,
in your barn or in your bedroom.
I hate that.
This seemed like some small beer. And...
So they kind of felt like some footnote had been left out, but big deal.
Yeah, right. The 14th state in the American states was what?
The first state, not one of the original colonies?
Yeah. Who came in next?
Is it Vermont?
It's Vermont.
Since we were just talking about that.
Good guess. Vermont, the United State of Vermont.
So you asked me this question, just to pull back the curtain a little, Penn and Teller style. You asked me this right before we started. What was the 14th state? And I was all over the map. I was like, is it like some Ohio, Tennessee type thing? And then I started to think it was Vermont, and that's why I said Vermont. Like, it was still at the tip of my brain 15 minutes ago, which is why I brought it up.
Well, and the, you know, Vermont, when they joined the Union... Vermont had already kind of ratified their own sort of Declaration of Rights when they ratified their own constitution really early, 1777. So when they joined the Union, they didn't immediately ratify the Bill of Rights.
Oh, for like weird logistical organizational reasons.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah. And then the next state to join the Union, the 15th state, was Kentucky. And Kentucky, as part of joining the Union, did ratify the entire, all 12 amendments to, you know, that were part of the big Bill of Rights. But Kentucky, this is a hilarious, I think, side note. Because we're both Kentucky colonels, we can joke about the great state of Kentucky.
Our native state, some would say.
Kentucky forgot that it ratified the Bill of Rights.
You're acting like Kentucky is a person. I did.
Kind of is.
Did I ratify that? Kentucky's going through her purse.
Yeah, and it ended up doing it again, and then discovering that it had already done it later on in our story.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
I mean, not about ratifying a constitutional amendment, but about, amendment, but about like buying a thing of curry powder or something. Yeah.
As a longtime podcaster, I do it all the time when I retell a story that I've already told 100 times. But very, very quickly then, those amendments to the Constitution sort of fell by the wayside. They made it all the way to the finish line and didn't get passed, one because of a Scrivener's error, and one because of...
I wish we could blame the Scriveners for this one, but we can't. The Scriveners get off scot-free.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is good. Like, scrivening was hard work back then.
And then can you tell us what the 14th Amendment was?
Well, I could at one point.
Oh, no, the 13th. So what would have been the 13th Amendment after the original 12?
Is now the 11th?
Well, so it would be, right, it would be the 11th.
So what is that?
Because the 13th abolished slavery. So what was the 11th?
Well, one of the first two is president and vice president are on a joint ticket, and the vice president's not the runner-up, but I think that's 12.
No, it's that that it limits the ability of individuals to sue states they are not citizens of.
Boy, that just comes up all the time.
It does. I'm suing the state of Kentucky for not having ratified the Bill of Rights, I mean, or having ratified.
You are increasingly making the Constitution sound like kind of an odd historical relic and jumble and in some cases accident, and not the divinely appointed benchmark for civilization that I have been led to believe it is.
Well, I'm sure the founders did not think it was divine. They were pretty clear about it not being.
The deists at least did not.
But, you know, I'm of the opinion, and I think we were raised in an era where the fact that the Constitution was kind of messy was a major strength and not a thing that invalidated it 240 years later when people felt like it didn't suit their needs anymore.
No, but I wish I could sue states I wasn't a citizen of. I'll tell you that right now. I'll sue Kentucky for their slapdash work in the Article the Second case.
Here's the thing. That right would not be reserved to you. It would also enable all kinds of kooky wah-wahs to sue. I mean, people would be suing Washington State up and down.
Yeah, for defunding the police and burning down Capitol Hill and all these other things we didn't do.
Yeah, that's right. And whatever else, taxing car tabs too much. Somebody in Oklahoma would be like, I'm suing.
That's what we need is a, what's the guy's name? What's the crank who's always...
Good Space Guy.
No, not that guy. The guy that's always putting the car tax repeals on the ballot.
The awful
East Side guy that steals chairs from Staples.
I think he ended up getting run out of town on a rail because he had one of these amendment campaigns and then he skimmed a bunch of money off of it, right?
Well, I'm sure he was all the time. Isn't that why all these people are doing this? He can't really care that much about car tabs.
He was paying himself a living wage. What was his name?
Stealing Chair Home Depot.
Is that what you're Googling?
Do you not know about this guy? I mean, this is the funny thing about it is there's videotape of him just stealing an office chair from Office Depot or something.
Well, it was his rightfully as a sovereign citizen. Maritime law entitles everyone to one free office chair.
What are those called when you can put anything on the ballot because we have a weird state?
What are they? Referenda.
Yeah, I'm Googling referendum stealing chair Office Depot. Tim Iman,
Tim Iman. So anybody who is not a Washington resident would be already bored.
Please enjoy this 10-minute diversion about this crank who stole a $70 chair from Office Depot.
But he's a famous guy around here, and for a while he was not considered, but half the population didn't think he was a chair stealing crank, but thought he was a real American patriot because he limited Washington State has a lot of limitations put on its ability to tax itself by the cranky conservatives that live on the East Side. And so Western Washington, who
would love to get taxed more.
They love to pay taxes.
Line me up to pay some more taxes.
They basically, the western half of the state votes for every single tax that comes through, and then the eastern part of the state either negates the tax or makes it impossible legally to raise that tax.
Yeah.
And so we're always trying to get around that by putting
Not for scurrilous reasons. We just want nice light rail and stuff.
Yeah, we append taxes to things. It's sort of like Congress raising its pay, except we're trying to raise the funds to do cool things.
About salmon, possibly.
And so one of the things we did was make car tabs. If you renewed your car tabs,
they extortionately
cost $500 or something. And boy, the people rolling coal in their Dodge 2500s were so mad.
Well, as good liberals, we probably shouldn't be that enthusiastic about all these regressive taxes we've had to pass over the decades.
You know, well, I mean, like most states, we make all of our money from the lottery, the most regressive of all taxes.
There will not be ad for a lottery app, by the way, in this show because I
did turn it down.
Yeah, some lottery platform.
What is a lottery app? I mean, everything's a freaking app now.
I think it's just a platform that says, "Hey, here's what Powerball is now. I want a ticket. Hey, here's what Lotto is now. I want a ticket. Here's what Mega Millions is now. I want a ticket." So this serves as the ad for them, I guess.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do that. Don't go to their site.
Well. So,
are you going to get back from that? Tim, I'm in the chair at Lotto.
So these two lost amendments, the first two in what had originally been the 12 Amendment Bill of Rights, sort of languished then in as footnotes in history until 1873. And in 1873, it was one of these instances where this was halfway through President Ulysses S. Grant's two terms, right before he was sworn in the second time. Congress passed what was popularly referred to as the Salary Grab Act.
I bet they didn't call it that.
They didn't. No, they called it
they had an acronym.
You know, increased compensation for our benevolent Virginia burghers who are doing the hard work of Congress. But interestingly, at that point, 1873, the salary of the president had never been raised from the time of George Washington. And in the time of George Washington, it could only have been like three coppers and a bottle of wine.
Like not even cost of living adjustments.
Which didn't exist at the time. So it was a blanket pay raise. The president and the Supreme Court all doubled their own salaries. And then Congress gave themselves a hearty pay raise. And this was, as you can imagine, politically contentious.
Easy to write. Editorials against?
Oh, yeah. And everybody felt like this is exactly what the second of the original 12 articles.
So there wasn't a cultural memory for people to point out in the press, like...
Well, no, it wasn't really in the press. The state of Ohio, in its inimitable way, resurrected this article...
So there's a few lawyers who know about this.
That's right. And they then ratified this amendment to the Constitution as a protest against the Salary Grab Act. But it was all political theater. And in fact, the Salary Grab Act, it was one of those instances where it caused a lot of turnover in the next election.
People got voted out.
And the salary increases were rescinded by the next. I mean, it was exactly what the result was exactly what this amendment would have accomplished.
I mean, at this point, the Bill of Rights is over 80 years old, so this would be kind of a news of the weird thing. Some state is going back 80 years, blowing the dust off this old law.
Yeah.
You know, that would kind of be a nutty thing.
Yeah, and kind of hilarious, like a real... yeah, something that you would grandstand about, but without much expectation that this would become like a big movement, and mostly because it wasn't necessary. The people dealt with it at the ballot box.
Yeah.
Although I think maybe the president retained his increased salary because, come on. You can't pay him the same. You can't pay U.S. Grant the same that you paid George Washington.
I remember as a kid reading that the president made whatever it was at the time.
$200,000.
Yeah. That's okay.
What is the amount that we remember from our childhood?
Is that still correct?
Well,
is it $250 now? But I just, do you have the same experience of me and just thinking, wow, the president makes two, oh, it's 400 now. Is that right?
Oh, look at that. $450,000 expense account.
Hey, he's got like an American Express Black Card.
Well, the president gets a pension equal to the salary of a cabinet secretary, which is $225,000 a year. And so as soon as the president leaves office, they're still, you know, cleaning up, although
it's a pretty decent pension
in Seattle or San Francisco. That's like,
I like how it's pegged to a cabinet secretary.
That's yeah. Funny.
Luckily they're all getting $10 million every time they
give a speech,
speak in Tokyo, or in one case, admit a new member to their Florida club. So they're doing okay.
Yeah,
they have other revenue sources. But do you remember like me just thinking, wow, $200,000, the president is so rich.
Well, that was when a lawyer or a doctor made $50,000 right. a year, and those right. were the richest people you ever heard of. Whoa, he's a doctor? He must make $50,000.
It had gone up. It was 100. It had gone up to 100K in 1960, and did not become 200K until 1970.
Oh, there you go.
And it was
which was a lot of money in 1970.
It seems to double.
It's every more time. Than
it doubled again in the year 2000.
200,000 in 1970 is more than 400,000 now. Is that right? You're the one that calculates the.
It is.
Consumer
it
price is. Index.
That probably would not have been true 5 years ago, but I think now it is due to the recent inflation.
Yeah. Although, hey, as Democrats, got to crow about the fact that we've got inflation under control.
That's our thing. We whipped inflation now.
Or at least recently. And then, so after 1873, again, no movement on this, until 1978, when in response to
78.
Yes, 78. In response to a similar protest against a congressional pay raise, the great state of Wyoming resurrected the Congressional Compensation Act and ratified it as part of, again, a.
But this is also just some kind of like funny news out of the Wyoming State House today.
Yeah. And the, you know, the thing about amending the Constitution is that in 1789, you know, you only needed three quarters of 13 states, but by 1978, you needed three quarters of 50 states.
It got a lot harder.
So every one of these, at this point in 78, 29 more states needed to ratify this amendment in order to make it the law.
Because pretty much all they had was the original, whatever they had, a seven or whatever, plus, what was it?
Yeah, mysteriously Kentucky.
Kentucky does not get credit twice, and then Wyoming.
So in 1921, in a case that kind of revolved around the 18th Amendment and the prohibition of alcohol, the Supreme Court determined that that an amendment needed to pass within a reasonable amount of time, that you couldn't just have amendments sitting out there. And they weren't referring at all to the Congressional Compensation Act. They were
in general.
This was a contemporary kind of like, seems like somebody should.
There should be a statute of limitations on.
And it was sort of determined to be 7 years. But then in 1939, in a separate case, Coleman versus Miller, the Supreme Court went back on that and said, actually, that's a political question that isn't for the Supreme Court to decide. That's really.
That's the kind of thing the Supreme Court doesn't say anymore.
Yeah, boy, wouldn't that be nice?
So they don't say ratification is permanent. They just say.
This is up to the.
Congressional interpretation.
Yeah, this is up to the Congress. And the Congress has thus far remained silent on it. And so, you know, let it ride.
Open question.
Right. So fast forward to the early 1980s. And a student at the University of Texas in Austin named Greg Watson, a sophomore taking a 300-level government class on the U.S. Constitution, was assigned a paper on some aspect of the U.S. government. He started researching what then was a very popular topic, the Equal Rights Amendment, which had failed to be ratified. And in the process of researching it, he discovered this amendment from 1789 and thought it was curious. And in Texas and in the political spirit of the time, he felt like, wait a minute, this is a plausible amendment even now. Everybody likes limiting Congress's power to pay itself.
This is an idea whose time has come.
Yeah, like it's a small thing. Who's going to be against this?
Yeah.
Right? And so his paper was sort of ungainly named. It was called his paper was titled, "Can a Proposed Congressional Amendment to the U.S. Constitution offered by Congress in 1789 still be ratified by the U.S. Congress, et cetera, et cetera." And his paper was graded by a teacher's assistant or teaching assistant. And the teaching assistant was unconvinced by this argument. And I haven't read the paper. Who knows? Maybe it was poorly written. Maybe it was divided up into too many small paragraphs.
Maybe his margins were wrong.
But the teaching assistant gave him a C.
Oh.
And in some stories gave him a C-, although the University of Texas at Austin does not have pluses or minus in their grades.
So maybe the minus was implied.
The minus was just for...
In her notes, see me.
In future newspaper articles, the minus was probably some Jason era edition.
Right.
But he was dissatisfied with that grade, and he then went to the professor, a woman named Sharon Waite, and said, "Hey, this is actually, you know, like why did the teaching assistant give me a C? This is actually a pretty good paper.
He's grade grubbing. I was into this guy, but come on,
yeah,
take your C."
Well, and she confirms that she reads it, you know, kind of toss off reads it.
Yeah, this is a C paper.
Yeah, this is not that great, and you know, nice try. If he had, we were given my freshman year in college. They came into the school, and I don't know exactly who I mean.
Dare?
But there was a school-wide series of tests. I don't know if you did this, but they were some kind of general aptitude tests given to everybody. And I don't remember whether it was every freshman or everyone in the school, but we all took it. And it was essentially like read this document and write a short essay. There were a few essays and so forth.
But it wasn't like a civics thing? It was just like a writing exercise?
It was a reading comprehension, yeah. Sort of. Like read this and then write either a synopsis or a two-paragraph criticism of the writing and so forth. And I thought of myself as a really good writer. And so I took some sideways tack on whatever the writing assignment was. And then we all got our grades all at once. It was some kind of thing where they just posted it up on the walls. Like, here's how you did. And I was given some C- on it. And the kid in our dorm that got the best grade was like some jock who, you know, I thought was just barely verbal.
Maybe not the best writer.
But he had done what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, he had taken the words and regurgitated them in the right order and concluded the correct thing. And it was, of all the betrayals I felt in all the years of going to school, this was one where standing there in the hall with my, at the time, long hair, looking at all these crew-cut guys from Montana who carried hockey sticks around with them.
Square pegs get C's.
Yeah, and thinking like, wow, man, you know what? You know what? The whole system is broken.
You could have just conformed at that moment and been like, you know what? From now on, I'll just give them what they want.
I could have cut my hair.
I'll be a cog and get an A.
Just be like,
you know what? That's what I did. It's going great.
I'm going to the police academy now. I know. Look at you. Like, you're doing fine, and I'm still out here on the fringe.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But Greg Watson was not satisfied with this, and he got a little bit chafed.
Was he peeved?
He was a little peeved.
What do they say in Texas? He got a burr in his saddle?
He got a burr in his saddle. He got a, you know, he put a duck in a noose.
Yeah, for sure. That's and, what they say.
And Greg was actually then got a job as an aide to a Texas legislator. So Greg was not taking this 300-level government class to meet his requirements to go on and get a communications degree. He really was –
He's a policy guy.
He was a policy guy.
Yeah, he's
– And so from – I think this is a little bit of extrapolation from the information at hand, but I suspect that from his assistant to the legislator's desk, maybe or maybe not on official – Texas legislature stationery, he started to send letters out petitioning the state legislatures of different American states who had not ratified reconsider this and ratify the either, you know, one, I think specifically this one of the bills or the acts that they had not ratified when they otherwise accepted the Bill of Rights.
Now, is he on the record? Is he a believer now in the good policy of this? And it's just he needs to revise the historical accident that killed it, or is he just?
I think he's mad about the sea.
He's mad about the sea, right?
And he
it's
does.
Too late. He's not going to get a.
He does think that this is like a that this is an easy win, but it turns out not to be. Most of the people he writes
will not. They will not pass a constitutional amendment, just or ratify a constitutional amendment just based on a letter from some college kid. That's good.
They ignore him completely.
Good.
But after a
time. That's what government should do. Government should ignore its loudest citizens.
Exactly. Like, thanks a lot.
Keep it down.
Thanks a lot, kid. Go back to work. Yeah. Like, what are you doing during your office days? This seems to be.
This is an important internship. Don't blow it.
But after a time, in 1983, so this would, you know, this was not that long after, presumably after Greg graduated. No. Well, he would have been a sophomore in 82. So this is, he's
still a student.
He's starting this campaign, you know, almost immediately. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Senator from Maine gets this letter. This is William Cohen, who then became the Secretary of Defense. He gets this letter and he's like, oh yeah, this kid's got moxie. This kid, you know, I don't see any reason why not.
He's onto something.
Yeah. And he kicks it down to somebody at the legislature. I don't think in a formal way.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, take a look at this. And it gets a little traction.
Maine is on board.
And Maine is like, you know what? Yeah. Like, again, who's gonna be mad about this? Like, who's against this exactly? Nobody.
And does it come? Do you think it already comes attached with a historical, whatever the opposite of baggage is, the historical imprimatur of this should have been in the Bill of Rights. It's just an accident that it's not.
Yeah, I think the fact that it was introduced by James Madison in 1789 has a lot of flair.
Yeah,
and. 1980, three were in the early days of the Reagan administration. And this is a time when patriotism was on the rise, America was back. And this went through the Maine legislature, and you know, with almost no opposition. Mm-hmm. So Maine passes it in 83, and Greg is empowered by this. This, as you can probably imagine, he's now, what is he, 20 years old? And
he made the Maine legislature do something.
Yeah. And so he begins a concentrated effort to convince the states, and spends thousands of dollars of his own money. He's not skimming from the coffers of the Texas legislature. And in 84, he gets Colorado to come on board. And now, fueled by this, and I think in the political circles, the sort of the lighthearted mirth of going back in time and passing this uncontroversial law.
So now people are doing it as a bit.
As a bit, but also as like, you know, this is something we've neglected all these years. To limit, it's one more thing we can do to limit the power of Congress.
Congress is unpopular during the Reagan era.
And I think there were some...
As now.
There were some, very definitely a sense that it was a Democratic Congress and that they were all pork belly, yeah, pork barrel skimmers.
For some reason. I don't know why. Why could anyone have thought that?
But then by 1985, five more states had come on board. And by 1992, he'd gotten 35 states.
That's the cutoff? Three quarters of 50,
Well, no. At that point, he needed one more state. And New Jersey and Michigan both, I mean, you know, this had become clearly a thing that state legislatures, when they all went to whatever Playboy club that that mixes, mm-hmm, it's like when all the program directors of radio stations get together in Vegas. They're like, guess what we did?
And now it's like, we have an official state water bird. And the guy from Oregon is like, well, why don't we have an official state water bird?
What the hell have we been doing? Michigan beat New Jersey to the punch, and the bill had been ratified by enough states to pass.
38 total, it looks to me, right? 37.5 would be three quarters, so 38th state.
There was some question whether or not the fact that this had been now 202 years,
right,
would mean that there, on any number of procedural bases, this would not actually become the law of the land.
And the Supreme Court and Congress are still silent on this.
Nobody had anything to say about it. And
somebody
the,
could say, yeah, well, Delaware did ratify this, but it was literally 200 years ago, 203 years ago or something.
But the registrar of the United States looked it up and down and was like, yeah.
We have a registrar?
Well, is it a registrar or an actuary? There's someone sitting at a desk in Washington with a giant rubber stamp
that says, this goes in the Constitution.
I am a bill. I am only a bill. And it passes.
Ka-chunk.
And becomes then the law of the land, validating Greg Watson and every American who thinks that just some rando should be able to get
right on James Madison's long velvet coattails.
That's right. And I'm sure there have been 10,000 attempts to amend the Constitution inspired by this.
It's been 10 years, right? Do we know what Greg is up to at the point where he's back in the news?
Well, no, this happened in 1992.
Right, but isn't that 10 years after he wrote his paper or whatever?
Oh, yeah, right.
So he's no longer a struggling intern or a college junior or whatever.
Well, interestingly, I looked up Gregory Watson's LinkedIn page. And he is still working, the last time he updated his LinkedIn page, was still working for the Texas legislature.
Does he have passed a constitutional amendment on his LinkedIn?
He did not.
That's a good line item.
But he's a policy analyst for the legislature. He got in there, and he's happy with where he is.
Did UT Austin ever change his grade?
So fast forward to 2017. A government professor at UT by the name of Zach Elkins was researching. I mean, this is sort of one of these, after it happened. I mean, I was in college when this.
Me too.
And when this was all going down, I don't remember any of this.
I have no memory of any of this. If you are contemporaneous with 1992 and you actually remember coverage of this, please let us know. I assume it was on the front page of the New York Times as a...
Had to have been.
And it's not just a historical curiosity. Like, the Constitution has been amended maybe for the first time since teens got the right to vote. Like, was that the... Is that 26? I should know this. No, I think that's 25. Oh, no, that is 26.
Teens get the right to vote.
Well, you know, 18 becomes the new voting age, not 21 or whatever it was. And that, you know, that should be big news.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, that's like renaming a state or somebody getting a new flag or something, except it's real.
And I'm sure it was at the time, but just, and the fact that it was spearheaded by a student,
that would have
been
story.
That would have been the thing that I would have gobbled up. There are 6 unratified amendments to the Constitution. Now there have been tons of attempts to modify the Constitution. Mm-hmm. But there have been 6 that made it all the way but didn't get the requisite number of votes. And the first one we know, the Congressional Apportionment Amendment, mm-hmm. Article the First. And then there was the Titles of Nobility Amendment, which would strip the citizenship of any citizen that accepted a title of nobility.
I think we should start a thing to get that one going.
Wouldn't that be fun?
We could get a bunch of states on board.
Yeah, why the hell are you a Duke of France? Like, you're out.
Easier than ever to pass now that it's totally academic.
The Corwin Amendment, which very famously was like the states' rights amendment that tried to circumvent any kind of national anti-slavery law.
Let's not do that one.
No, that doesn't seem like one to re-jazz.
I'm sure 40% of the country disagrees with you on that, but...
States' rights.
But I hope they don't.
The Child Labor Amendment.
For or against?
Well, it was against child labor, but it ended up not passing primarily because that work was just done by the legislature. You know, it outlawed child labor.
But that's what you always say when you kill a nice-sounding amendment.
Yeah.
ERA, there's equal rights are already enshrined in so many laws. Yeah. Why would we need this?
And the Equal Rights Amendment.
Famously.
And then the District of Columbia Voting Rights Amendment, which also is still a hot-button issue.
What would that would give them a House, like a...
Well, yeah, they're able to vote, and they actually have electoral college representatives,
yes.
But they don't have a senator and a or
that's
two
why
senators.
There's 500 and I screwed this up once in a connections quiz I wrote. There's 535 members of Congress, not 538, because of that not getting ratified.
Womp womp womp. So this amendment then says no law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened, meaning, you know, a next election. But the word vary has now come up a couple of times.
Could they lower their salaries?
Well, once there was a challenge to a cost of living increase, saying like this is varying the representative's salary
compensation. Yeah,
but nobody that protest kind of didn't gain any traction. Nobody wanted to take it up. And then again in 2012, when there was a kind of a law with a similar spirit called the No Budget, No Pay Act, which was meant to censure the Congress for not passing
if
a budget.
They couldn't pass a budget.
And it was...
But that would vary their salary by turning it to zero.
It would. So that was, you know, kind of on the grounds of being unconstitutional, didn't get enough traction to ever you know, arrive at the Supreme Court. I forgot to mention that part of what inspired Greg Watson was that in 1981, right before this all went down, the Democratic Congress did slip in a pay raise into a bill that was designed to help coal miners. And so there was, and I think I do remember that corruption scandal.
Coal miners and congressmen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, the biggest issue implied by this whole thing might be the question of, did this decide that state ratification of an amendment does not expire? Because that would be an important question for people who are now pushing the ERA, which happened again under Trump. You know, there was a renewed push to get states to individually ratify the ERA. And it seemed like it was treated like a curiosity, like, well, we're not going to count the old ones from the 70s.
Well, because some of these amendments that came later actually had a sort of time limit kind of baked into the language of the campaign. And so, you know, there was a 7-year limit put on how long it can take. But is that constitutional? Interestingly, Greg Watson, who clearly considered this his great work.
Well, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Realized in his continuing research that Mississippi had never actually ratified the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery.
Oh, so that's why we know about this? Because I remember hearing that. Yeah. I remember that news cycle. That's a Greg Watson joint also.
In 1995, he started a campaign in Mississippi to get the state to ratify the 13th Amendment and succeeded, but because of a filing error, the state of Mississippi did not actually ratify the 13th Amendment until 2013.
Yeah, I remembered it being much later than that. So it passed, but they actually screwed up the paper.
It was a scrivener's error.
And that concludes the 27th Amendment, entry 1352.GE3028, certificate number 43079. In the omnibus. Futurelings, we are not to be found on social media, although for much of the life of the project, we were at Ken Jennings, at John Roderick, at Omnibus Project. You can still find listeners of this period by looking for the Futurelings online in their various hidey holes, their warrens, their dens, their subreddits, their Facebook fan pages and Discords and whatnot.
Do you ever go on Reddit and look at whatever the conversation is around the Omnibus Project?
I usually forget to.
Yeah.
Because most of it's Facebook-centric nowadays. But I did the other day.
Are you a Redditor? Lol.
Yes, in that I when I search for things, I generally try to pinpoint Reddit because I know I'll get human results and not, not content farming.
Right.
Yeah, of a kind, of the kind of person that posts on Reddit.
But do you have a Reddit account? Or, I mean, are they always saying, like, sign in, like they are to me?
Yeah, I do have an account.
Yeah.
I think maybe three or four, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want the government to know that the same guy posting on the tropical fish subreddit is also posting on the light rail subreddit or whatever.
Yeah, you're there under I like big butts and I cannot lie /69.
That's right. I got a different thing for every subreddit. Yeah. And you could email us at theomnibusproject@gmail.com. You could send us physical items, which I was not unwrapping during the show out of respect.
Thank you.
To you, John.
Thank you.
But as a result, I have no idea what we have here.
Oh, sorry. Well, it looks like we've got some blue cards.
We've been invited to Allison and Andrew's wedding.
Did it already happen?
Ooh, it's at the Art Institute of Chicago. No, it's coming up in a couple months. I think we are not likely to be there, Allison and Andrew, but that sounds like a great venue. You should play the instrumental of Please Let Me Get What I Want by the Smiths that plays in Ferris Bueller when they go to the Art Institute.
I guess. Or you could play a Long Winter song. You could play Stupid, which is a romantic song.
Is that
song.
The best first dance song in your oeuvre?
No. I mean, a lot of people play Cinnamon because they misunderstand it.
I should probably go and send them an RSVP thing, and I'll set it here, and I might forget. Let's see what happens. Uh-huh. Only Andrew and Allison know if I remembered to do that. Aaron sent us a postcard from historic Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary.
Okay.
Site of a recent entry about James Earl Ray's escape.
Actually visited there.
Yeah. After listening, they visited.
Oh, nice.
Here's her review. Are you wondering what Aaron's wife thought of the prison?
I do.
She says, wear bug spray.
At that time of year.
That's a good tip.
But if you went in November, I don't know if you'd need bug spray.
Can't hurt.
We're out of our mosquito season here in Washington, and we're into our spider season.
Spider season is real. I never really get bit much in the summer. I don't get bit much ever, actually.
Well, you don't live on a swamp.
That's true. I live near a lake, but it's pretty mosquito-free.
Well, you live in the windy part.
I guess that's true. Lake. That's right. That was my idea. Yeah. Honey, let's move to the windy part above a lake.
Let's go above the lake so we can see it, but it's just windy enough to keep the bugs on.
Aaron, and specifically this postcard is not just of prisoners. It's actually of a warden or maybe a guard and a journalist feeding a deer. This is Geronimo. In the early 70s, a young deer that fell off the cliff into the yard. The inmates decided to keep it as a sort of pet and named it Geronimo. It liked, the cancellation by the post office is robbing us of fascinating Geronimo factoids. But one of them is he liked to chew on unlit cigarettes.
Huh.
They turned Geronimo into a nicotine fiend. I wonder if, that would have been while James Earl Ray was there. Right? Geronimo would have been fraternizing with one of the worst men in the 20th century. Thank you, Aaron, for that postcard. And I'm also opening this from... Is there no enclosed anything? It's from someone named Clark, and we each get a copy of the Cloak and Bugle Corps.
I'm already into it. Okay. I like both of those things, cloaks and bugles.
It's enough of a put-on that I can't tell what it actually is. Like, even the publisher's thing says they have offices in Lisbon, Las Cruces, Dar es Salaam, and Chicago. So it's not real.
It sounds like NYU.
It has a bunch of quotes. Here are the collected history, rules, bits of wisdom, sayings, recommendations, forms, codes of conduct, little tricks, visual aids, and science of putting on a drapey fabric garment, walking a little way, and sounding a horn.
Ah, it's a Masonic group. Yeah, but it's de Molay, probably.
But you can tell by the cute...
it's too cute.
The cute cartoony art that it's a fun take on a Masonic thing. There's definitely space at the end of the book that... Oh, there's an Equinox table. All books should have an Equinox table at the back, right?
Here, here.
I'm going to...
I support it. If you're not agin it, you're for it.
I'm going to make sure all my books have an Equinox table at the end and a bunch of blank pages where you can record your own little buglery.
You know, the next time you publish a book, someone for sure is going to say...
Where's the Equinox table?
Yeah, that's right. You said there'd be blank pages.
Thank you for informing us about the Cloak and Bugle Corps, whoever this listener is in slightly upstate New York. And well, we can leave it at that. The most important thing you can do to support Omnibus is to send us funny put-ons of secret societies.
Well, yes.
But the second most important thing you can do would be to go to patreon.com/omnibusproject several years ago and become a monthly supporter. If you did not do it then, the third best thing you can do is to go to that webpage right now and take a look at the amazing potential you that you will become once you are an Omnibus supporter. 50 or 60 new addenda shows will just land in your feed almost immediately.
When you go to the Patreon, does it show you all the things, but they're just ghosted out? Or can you not even see the many, many, many wonderful things?
You can see the kinds of things you can get. You can see the actual feed, but it is ghosted out.
Oh, okay.
It looks like the default thing you see are the first five. Interestingly, Patreon defaults to the second one. I guess did I choose to do that? Maybe the algorithm has told me that. But even the $5 a month level gets you early access to every single show, ad-free, every Tuesday, two days before the normies get it.
Cool beans.
And the monthly addenda shows, including a back catalog now of 5 years of them almost.
Rad.
And then a bunch of ghosted out photos so you can't actually see. You can't actually enjoy them. But it'll taunt you. It'll tantalize you into putting your $5 on the barrelhead.
Taunted and tantalized. I like both of those feelings.
If you enjoyed any part of Omnibus, this entry or any other one, even if you think maybe one in three are good, it's just five bucks a month.
You're implying really that people think one and two are good, meaning they think yours are good.
No, that is not what I'm implying. That is absolutely not. Somebody was very not into OU Kid on the Patreon the other day. I saw somebody just took the time to type like, this one wasn't good or something like that. I guess they paid their $5 a month. They get a voice.
Someone I met in real life took me to task. Not took me to task, but was like, yeah, well, you know, my wife and I were listening to the windshield pitting episode, and it really made us mad where, you know, like, what a terrible episode. And I said, what? I thought that was a really good episode. And they were like, well, at the end, it just turns out it was nothing. And I was like, well, that doesn't make it a bad episode.
That's the twist.
And they said, but it should have, you know, we got all built up to there being something interesting like nuclear weapons or aliens. I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's not my fault.
I think that would be rude to tell someone.
That your episode was bad?
Yeah, that a specific one was bad. Like, yeah. And people don't have any, people are like, oh, he'll be interested in this.
Yeah.
You know, like, the public at large has no, there was just some discord on social media about, like, should you reach out to authors to tell them you don't like their work? And I was amazed that anybody would defend that idea. the guy who sent us the shirts of the Red Ghost Camel.
Yes.
I guess he had a from a different podcast that maybe his, but also did a show about it. Will sent us, two sheets of Alex Trebek stamps.
What does that mean? Those aren't U.S. postage stamps.
They are. Did you know?
What?
Yeah, I went out to L.A. last month and emceed the unveiling of the new Alex stamp.
So those are legal tender?
You can't spend them at a convenience store, but you can put them on an envelope. These are forever stamps, yes.
But they are legal tender. You could use that if someone were willing to accept it as payment. But I mean, I guess
isn't that true of a
T-shirt too?
True of a cactus? Or?
Yeah, but I think, are stamps legal tender? Well, here we go. This is why you have computers.
This episode just got 20 minutes longer. No, the Alex, if you have not seen the Alex Trebek stamps, head to your post office before the old people buy them all because they are very nice. Alex does not appear on the stamp.
No.
The stamp is a Jeopardy clue such that if you buy a pane of him, it looks like a Jeopardy board and he is standing to the side. Are you for or against this idea?
Well, I didn't immediately recognize that those were stamps, but I'm sure our valiant postal employees have been trained to recognize them. So I think they're pretty good. Are the questions the same on each one? I think it should be that each one is a different question.
They each say, this naturalized American citizen hosted Jeopardy for 40 years or something.
Stamps are not considered legal tender.
Oh.
They have no intrinsic value and are not widely represented as currency.
Will also thinks we should do a show on the Wilkes Expedition, mm-hmm. which I could have told you nothing about, but it's an 1830s thing that named most of the geography of the Pacific Northwest. Southworth, for example, where Will must be from, is named for the quartermaster of the Wilkes Expedition. So there's some facts about an expedition I had never heard of. And I now know at least two things about.
Add it to the list of things.
Thank you for these stamps. Well, these are amazing.
Futurelings, from our vantage point in your distant past, we have no idea how long our civilization survived. We hope and pray that the catastrophe we fear may never come. But if the worst comes soon, this recording, like all our recordings, may have been our final word. But if Providence allows, we wish you many goods and cheese and hope to be back with you soon for another entry in the Omnibus.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.